This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And you know what? We celebrated the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. Celebrating the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam means that you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam 24/7, not in the month of Rabi' al-Awwal only. You follow the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every month and every day and every moment of your life. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the month of Rabi' al-Awwal and was born in a year called the year of the elephant. And a famous story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even made mention in the Quran al-Kareem, Surah al-Fil, the chapter of the elephant, when Abraha and his army attempted to go and demolish the Kaaba. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him and his army. Why? As Abd al-Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had mentioned that for this house there is a Lord that will protect it. There is a Lord that will protect it. And that story came about when Abd al-Muttalib, who was the head and the chief of Quraysh, he wanted to meet with Abraha. And Abraha was the general in charge of the army that was coming to destroy the Kaaba and invade Mecca. So when Abd al-Muttalib entered the tent of the general Abraha, he saw the integrity and the respect on the face of Abd al-Muttalib, to the extent that he came down from his throne and sat down on the ground. And he was surprised to hear from Abd al-Muttalib that he came to talk about his camels, not to talk about the Kaaba or Mecca al-Mukarramah. So Abraha told him, "Look, I had a lot of respect for you when I saw you, and I thought you coming here to talk to me about your people, but I'm shocked to hear that you are concerned about your camels." So what did he say? He said, "As for the camels, I'm their lord," which means I'm their owner. I'll be responsible for them. As for the Kaaba, it's got its own Lord that he'll take care of it. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did take care of the Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this ummah. Allah blessed this nation with the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the birth of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam is a birth of hope. A hope for all humanity. A birth for prosperity for all humanity. A birth for freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the slavery of mankind to the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because unfortunately people had enslaved themselves to the creation. And we are the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that enslaved themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. No one else. And the famous saying of one of the companions or tabi'een that said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَتَيْنَاكُمْ لِنُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. We are people that came to take away from the worship of the creation to the worship of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a birth for freedom. Freedom from the slavery of mankind to the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that has full rights upon us to be enslaved and to be his slaves. And the slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the real freedom. The slavery to Allah azza wa jal is the real freedom. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the year of the elephant, which was 40 years before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation. And that's also 53 years before the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means if this year is 1441, add to it 53 years, which means the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born 1,494 years ago. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born 1,494 years ago, because we are in 1,441 after the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 53 years old. So you add 53 years on 1,441, it becomes 1,494 years. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born just under 1,500 years ago, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born an orphan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born an orphan. His mother, Amina, she gave birth to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just before the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his father, Abdullah, died. He passed away. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born as an orphan. And obviously, for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be born as an orphan, it wasn't by coincidence. That's something that's ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's set by Allah azza wa jal. And there are a lot of hikam, wisdoms, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be born as an orphan. There are a lot of wisdoms. And subhanallah, you hear of many of the different conclusions and personal reasoning of the scholars, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be born as an orphan. And one of them is for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to grow up with that sympathy towards everyone. Most of us are born non-orphans, and we sympathize with the orphan. But no one understands the orphan as much as the orphan himself or those who grew up as orphans. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to grow up as an orphan to understand and have better understanding of all the different categories of mankind, all the different types of mankind. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up as an orphan. And then he was in the care of his mother and grandfather. And then when he was 6 years old, his mother passed away. When he was 8 years old, his grandfather passed away for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be in the care of his uncle Abu Talib. And Abu Talib embraced the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and took him in and treated him as one of his own children. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly loved his uncle Abu Talib, and Abu Talib truly loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, Abu Talib passed away as a non-Muslim. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought with him, as the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, he brought with him hope to mankind during a time and era where mankind were just fighting against each other. There was no justice. There was no respect. There was no equality. But Islam came and brought equality. Islam came and brought justice. Islam and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam brought the truth and made the truth prevail over falsehood. That's why when you talk about the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're not really focusing on the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a physical birth where a mother gave birth to this son. But we're talking about the metaphors that we learn out of this birth, the lessons that we learn out of that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the last and final prophet and messenger. And who's that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest man to tread this earth. The greatest man to tread this earth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no greater man than the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. This is aqeedah. There's no two ways about it. There's no ifs or buts. The greatest human being to stand on the face of this earth is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Greater than everyone before him and greater than everyone after him, greater than everyone during his time. And anyone who believes otherwise is considered to be a kafir. You can't. There's no compromise on this point. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected his belief in believing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his pleasure in following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in entering the Jannah in following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبُبْكُمُ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jal will love you in return, and Allah will forgive you. Allah will love you and Allah will forgive you. It's not enough for you to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not enough for you to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first. No. Allah and Muhammad come first in your life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That none of you is a true believer until I, the Messenger of Allah, become more beloved to them than their children, than their parents, than everyone else, including their wealth. The true iman and the complete iman belief is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the number one priority in your life. Allah number one, Muhammad number two, and everyone else comes after that. There's no compromise on this. There's no room of negotiations on this. Allah is number one, then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam number two. Then everyone else. Then your mother, your father, your grandparents, your brothers and your sisters, your siblings, your children, your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren, and everyone else, including yourself. None of you is a true believer until I, the Messenger of Allah, become more beloved to them than their parents, then their children, then everyone else, then their wealth, including themselves. So much so, my brothers in Islam, my sisters in Islam, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him, O messenger of Allah, by Allah, you are more beloved to me than my parents. By Allah, you are more beloved to me than my children. By Allah, you are more beloved to me than everyone else. By Allah, you are more beloved to me than my wealth. But the honest truth is, there is one thing that I'm struggling with. You are not more beloved to me than myself. Subhanallah. Look how straightforward Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is. And this is a hadith that's been narrated in the Bukhari. O messenger of Allah, by Allah, you are more beloved to me than my parents. And it's true about it. He's not giving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lip service here. It's not just talk, he means it. O messenger of Allah, by Allah, you are more beloved to me than my children. You are more beloved to me than everyone else. You are more beloved to me than my wealth, except myself. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, if that's the case, you want to be straightforward with me, I'm going to be straightforward with you too. By Allah, you are not a complete believer until I, the messenger of Allah, become more beloved to you than yourself. That's a reality. There's no two ways about it. That's when he turned around and said, O messenger of Allah, by Allah, now you are more beloved to me than myself. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, and now, O Umar, I could vouch for you that you are a complete believer. I could attest to saying that you are a complete believer. But before I can't, because you're not. If I'm not more beloved to you than your children, than your parents, than everyone else, than your wealth, including yourself, then you're not a complete believer. So the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of iman. It's not just an emotional or spiritual thing. It's part of your iman. It's part of your core iman, whether you feel good about it or not. And obviously not feeling good about it, there's an issue there. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be the most beloved one to you in your life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, three from amongst you had truly tasted the sweetness of iman, when Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to them than everyone else. So you've got iman, then you've got the sweetness of iman. Most Muslims have iman, but most Muslims have not tasted the sweetness of iman. There's another level. There's iman, which is a general level. Then there is the special, specific level for those that taste the sweetness of iman. So most Muslims taste the general iman. But now there's something specific called sweetness of iman. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, not many people taste the sweetness of iman, including believers. When do you taste the sweetness of iman? When Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to you than everyone else. When you love a brother or a sister for the sake of Allah and nothing else. And you hate to go back to kufr, disbelief, as much as you hate to be cast and thrown in the hellfire. So one of those that taste and feel the sweetness of iman is those that love Allah and His Messenger more than everyone else. More than anyone else. How do you love Allah and His Messenger more than anyone else? In reality, not just in talk. It means that when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes by, or when Allah commands you to do something, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands you to do something, there's no ifs or buts about it. You straight away implement what Allah and His Messenger command you to do. Not you think about 100 times. Subhanallah, today someone was talking to me about his mom doesn't want to pay zakat. And she knows that zakat must be paid. Subhanallah, zakat. Zakat, zakat. You know that you have to pay it. You know it's fard. You know it's haram. If you don't pay it, you know it's a sin. You know Allah's going to punish it. And yet, you don't even want to do that. How do you claim to be someone that loves Allah and His Messenger? Your money comes before Allah and His Messenger. Your desires are coming before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Your family is becoming more important to you than Allah and His Messenger. I'm not saying that your family are not important. They are important. I'm not saying your money is not important. It is important. I'm not saying that your business is not important. It is important. But what's more important we're talking about? What's more important is Allah and His Messenger, the commands of Allah and His Messenger. Following Allah and His Messenger, the pleasure of Allah and His Messenger. For that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, say. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, قل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking your attention, even though you should be paying attention to every single verse and every single word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, if your parents, your children, your brothers and sisters, your wives and spouses, your tribes, your wealth that you had gained and your businesses that you worked so hard for, and your abodes, your homes and your houses are more beloved to you. Ahabba ilaykum min Allahi wa Rasooli, more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger. Say, your parents, your children, your brothers and your sisters and your spouses and your tribes and your families and your wealth and your houses and your wealth and what you possess and your money and everything around you, are these more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger? فَتَرَبَّصُوا. Then wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. If this is more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wait for Allah's punishment. What's Allah's punishment? Allah's punishment is not necessarily to be that Allah will send a thunder from the horizon coming down at you. That's not necessarily to be Allah's punishment. That can be Allah's punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish in any way, in any form, in any shape. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished Ad, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished Hud, and as Allah punished Lut's tribe, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished other nations with natural disasters. But Allah's punishment is another punishment. What's another punishment of Allah's punishment? In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of Allah's severest punishment is when you raise your hands to Allah and ask Him and Allah does not respond to you. That's a punishment from Allah. One of Allah's punishment when you are dishonored on the face of this earth. One of Allah's punishment when a Muslim's name was mentioned before, people used to fear them and respect them. Now there's no fear, there's no respect. That's Allah's punishment. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about punishing, not necessarily that Allah's going to punish you by taking your life or your soul away, or Allah sending a disaster or a tsunami or a flood or a thunder or something like this. No. Allah's punishment, Allah punishes in different ways. And one of Allah's punishment is when you are dishonored, when you are despised, when no one doesn't care about you anymore. That's Allah's punishment. When we are divided, that's Allah's punishment. When you raise your hands to Allah, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you must call for which is good and prevent from which is bad. Otherwise, Allah will punish you a severe punishment that you raise your hands to Allah and ask Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even accept from you. That's Allah's punishment. That's Allah's punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, if your parents, if your children, if your brothers, if your spouses, if your tribes, if your wealth, if your businesses, if your houses are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and striving in the path of Allah, then wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. And unfortunately, we see some of that punishment. Muslims were the most honorable people standing on the face of this earth. We're still honorable, but not like before. That's a punishment. When we put everyone else before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the creation of Allah becomes more important than Allah Himself, that's a serious mistake. That's a serious mistake that Allah will punish for. And that's why loving Allah and His Messenger, it's not an optional thing. It's a must. It's mandatory. It's compulsory. It's obligatory. You must love Allah and His Messenger. And that love doesn't just come on the tongue. Ya Rabbi, Ya Allah, I love you. Oh, Messenger of Allah, I love you. I'll do anything for you. Okay, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Salatul Fajr, As-salatu khayru min an-naum. Allah's calling you, and the pillow is more important to you than Allah. How do you claim to be someone that loves Allah more than anything else? Your pillow is more important to you than Allah. Your sleep is more important to you than Allah. Today, a brother was telling me about his mother refusing to pay zakat. And how much is that zakat? It was 2,500 out of 100 grand. 2,500, doesn't even want to give up 2,500 for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. What would Allah Azza wa Jal honor you? I'm not talking about the specific mother here. In general, Muslims don't want to pay their zakat. They don't want to pray their prayers. They don't want to contribute towards the da'wah. But when it comes to everything else, that 2,500, you'll do it with flying colors when it comes to everything else. Going on a holiday, paying for a ticket, buying something, purchasing something, 2,500 is nothing. Nothing, nothing. These days, people are wearing shoes for $500 worth. During my days, this guy over there knows Dunlop. Remember Dunlop from Kmart? $20? Yeah. $20. We shoot $20, we become untouchables. SubhanAllah. Now, I'm not saying, inshallah, you go and buy a purse for $1,000 or shoes for $2,000. That's one thing. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where's that? Dana $1,000 for the sake of Allah. Pay your zakat, ya akhi, for the sake of Allah. Pay your zakat. Don't worry about an extra contribution. SubhanAllah. When it comes to the dunya, we'll pay. How much is that? 500? Here. $1,000 here. Holiday, $2,000 there. A car, $20,000. I've got no issues. I'm not saying don't do that. Go and do that. Or mabruk. 1,000 mubarak. I'm not saying don't do that. Well done. But when it comes to Allah, why is there hesitance? $1,000 for the sake of Allah. Wow. Allahu Akbar. Oh, I need to consult the family. Oh, I need to check my bank statement. I need to check my bank balance and this and that. I need to look into this. I need to look into that. As if you struck this person with a big punch in the face that now he becomes so puzzled. When it comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla, when it comes to everything else, oh, bargain. You know how much I bought this for? $1,000. You know how much it is in the market? It's $2,000. I got a bargain. MashaAllah. What about the bargain with Allah Azza wa Jalla? Give $1,000 for the sake of Allah. Everyone becomes in limbo for some reason. Don't get me wrong, my brothers and my sisters. Spend on yourself. Amma bi ni'mat rabbika fahaddith. Inshallah, you buy a shoes that's worth $10,000, mabruk. And it's not haram. That's not the issue. The point is, since you could do that in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, do something for the sake of Allah and give something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. I was very disturbed today that a brother's trying to convince his mom to pay her zakat and she doesn't want to pay her zakat. Why? Oh, you know, I'd rather save this. How do you save this? SubhanAllah, how do you save this? On the contrary, everything else is going to collapse and crumble if you're not going to give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ikhwana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises a punishment for those who refuse to put Allah and His Messenger first. And the true celebration of the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that you act like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you behave like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you think like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you uphold what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had died for. You continue with the legacy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the true love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. A man comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him, O Messenger of Allah, mata sa'ah, O Messenger of Allah, when is the day of judgment? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies back and he says, why are you asking me about when is the day of judgment? Why? The day of judgment is going to come. Today, tomorrow, after 1 week, after 1 month, after 1 year, after 10 years, after 100 years, after 1,000 years, the day of judgment is going to come, and don't worry, you're not going to miss out on the action, you're going to be part of the action. Don't ask me when is the day of judgment. But I'm going to ask you back and say, what have you prepared for it? What have you prepared for the day of judgment? Since you're so concerned about the day of judgment, don't worry, you're not going to miss it. You are part of it, we're all going to be part of it. You should be concerned about, what have you prepared for it? As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied back to him, what have you prepared for it? He said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I didn't really prepare much of too many extra prayers, extra fasting, extra zakat, extra haz. So he does pray and he does fast and he does pay zakat, but he doesn't do extras. But then he said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I truly love Allah and His Messenger. I love His Messenger. I love you. I truly mean it. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied back to him and he said to him, if that's the case, Allah will assemble you with and gather you with those that you loved and followed. You love the Messenger of Allah, and you truly love the Messenger of Allah, then you'll be with the Messenger of Allah. You truly love the Messenger of Allah, then you'll be with the Messenger of Allah. Truly love. Truly, truly love. Not just talk. Truly love the Messenger of Allah. You mean it. But when you are disobeying Allah and disobeying the Messenger of Allah, you don't look like the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You don't act like the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You don't behave like the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You don't follow the orders of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You don't implement the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then, I love the Messenger of Allah. Yes, you do have some love of the Messenger of Allah in your life, but you don't truly love the Messenger of Allah. You don't truly love the Messenger of Allah. That just doesn't make sense. That you love the Messenger of Allah more than everyone else, but you behave and you act like everyone else more than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Where's the true love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? It just doesn't make sense. I love the Messenger of Allah, but I look like everyone except the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. I love the Messenger of Allah, but I act like everyone else except the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I love the Messenger of Allah, but I behave like everyone else except the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where's that love? Love is not just talk. Love is not just talk. You love the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, act like the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Follow the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Subhanallah, the Sahaba truly loved the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are so many great examples that we can't even talk about. One of them is one of those female companions in the battle of Uhud. Her husband, her brother, and her son passed away. They were killed in that battle. Three of her family members were killed, if I'm getting them right. But 100% three, husband, son, and brother were killed. And the news comes to her. She's struck with this news. She's hit. One hit with three family members who are killed in the battle of Uhud. Your husband is dead. He's been killed. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Your brother has been killed. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Your son has been killed. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What do you think her action was? And what happened to the Messenger of Allah? What happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So they told her, he's well and fine. He's in good shape. Alhamdulillah. She said, no, I want to see him. Subhanallah, are you worried about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or are you worried about your son and your husband and your brother? Where is the Messenger of Allah? So they took her and they showed her the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from far. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arriving on his camel, they told her he's the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When she looked at the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, everything after looking at you, or Messenger of Allah, becomes easy. What happened to her? Her brother, her husband, and her son. Three close relatives to her, son, husband, brother, her own blood and flesh. Where is the Messenger of Allah? He's over there. She said, everything after you is easy. That's what you call true love. True, true, true love. Like the true love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, embedded in her heart, that after hearing that her brother and her husband and her son have been killed, this did not shake her. Her main concern was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who truly love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, behave and act like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, as we mentioned every single Monday after Salat al Maghrib, there's going to be a lesson. Not necessarily to be me, there's going to be other lecturers who'll be here. So next week, inshallah, there's going to be a talk on the da'wah. The week after that, we're going to have a panel. The week after that, there's going to be a talk on different topics and different themes, inshallah, we'll be covering. And most of those topics are focused on contemporary issues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen. He subhanakallah, hamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.